Most business podcasts today focus on the 1%, the nationally known larger-than-life personalities, entrepreneurs, and celebrities with interesting business stories. Business Exit Stories shares the stories of the other 99% of unheralded entrepreneurs that own successful companies in manufacturing, retail, logistics, telecommunications, construction, food service, and in every imaginable type of business in every state and city around the country. These are the stories told by the deal makers that facilitate exits. These are the mergers and acquisition specialists, business brokerages, financial and wealth planners, CPAs, appraisers, and attorneys. By listening to their stories, you'll learn what the entrepreneurs and business owners they represent did right and what they did wrong when it comes to exiting their business through a sale or a merger. In fact, you'll not only learn how they avoided disastrous exits, but how they positioned their companies for an out-of-the-ballpark home run when they exited their business. And here's your host, Marvin L. Storm.
Today we are talking to Chris Goebel, located in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Chris has an interesting background. He comes to business brokerage from his own experience in building and managing a family business that was later sold to private equity and then eventually to a public company. This gives Chris some real insights on how the management structure and business philosophies are quite different with different types of owners. Chris shares with us how taking the foot off of the gas pedal caused sales to plateau, which is a real concern to buyers, and what two partners had to do to correct the situation in their business. He also shares how a business that doesn't install a management team can really depress the value of a business quite significantly. Another story that Chris shares with us is how the timing in the planning for an exit is crucial, and how a business lost over 50% of its value in a matter of a few years by not planning their exit properly. And finally, Chris shares a story of a business that grew from a local mom-and-pop operation to a regional and eventually into a national company. He shares how the owners retained advisors to help position the business for an exit by getting the financials in order, installing a management team, and how the business was able to execute a sale to a private equity group with a full cash-out offer. Hi, this is Marvin L. Storm with the Business Exit Stories podcast. We're here with Chris Goebel in the Cleveland area of Ohio. Chris, would you take a few minutes and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your business?
Yes, my name is Chris Goebel, and my business is Crossroads Advisors. And that was started in 2016 with the mindset to help businesses develop a transition plan, whether it be through succession or exiting, so that the sale of their business is more profitable and that they're able to capture the net worth in their business that helps with their retirement funding and allows other opportunities, if it's a succession, for family members to get involved in the business.
All right. Chris has kind of an interesting background. Chris, I'd like to have you share a little bit about your family history, a little bit about your father and the business he started and kind of how that business grew and how you were involved in that business.
Yeah. So the business, I got into this business as a result of going through our family business, going through a transition where it was sold to a private equity and then sold then to a publicly traded company. The business was started by my father, who was a Cleveland police officer and was stationed at the Cleveland airport. And he had a large family. I had nine in our family. And to make ends meet, he would take people home from the airport after his shift that were stranded at the airport and needed a ride home. And that just gradually grew into a business. And that was started around 1962, and we grew the business up until our sale of it to private equity, which was in 2008. So I had several family members involved in the business through the process, And we were blessed to grow it from literally a mom and pop organization to a multi-million dollar corporation.
So when you say multi-million dollar operation, talk a little bit about the type of business. And, you know, you were in transportation, public transportation, and taking people from one place to the other. Give us a little bit more flavor of what that all entailed and how many vehicles you had and the number of employees you had, and kind of what your gross revenues were.
So the nature of the business, we were did transportation for passengers service in our charter buses and vans and minivans, limousines, sedans. We had multiple type of vehicles that we used. And we also, and that was moving people primarily where they charter our vehicle. We also did public transportation where we did contract service for public transit agencies where we would do paratransit or we would do employee shuttle services. And we were blessed to grow that business to just under $40 million in revenue when I left in 2012 and or in 2015 when I left. And we, at that point in time, we had about 200 revenue producing vehicles. We had four different terminals within the state of Ohio. And we had about 450 team members that we were on, or members of our team that made us successful.
And how many vehicles did you have?
We had about 200 vehicles in our fleet, consisting of primarily motor coaches, smaller capacity vehicles like minibuses that would hold 25 to 30 people. We had vans. We also did contract services where we'd have transit style vehicles that we used to move people.
And through the process where you had family members working in the business, your father stayed involved in the business up to the time of sale. Talk a little bit about that.
So my father was very involved in the business until his passing in 1986. After that point in time, we went through a generational transition where the business was transitioned to myself and five other family members that were involved in the business. All six of us were involved in the business until we sold in 2008 to a private equity firm. After that point in time, myself and my other brother were asked to stay on in a management position. And then when it was sold to a publicly traded company, my brother left and I was asked to stay on. And I stayed on until the end of 2016 or the end of 2015.
So you have kind of an interesting pedigree here in that you work for a smaller business that grew into a larger family business with really professional management. You had hundreds of people working for you. You went through a generational change where from father to son, and you grew an internal management team. And you exited the business with private equity and you stayed on with the private equity firm until it exited and sold to a publicly traded company. And you worked for a publicly traded company at that point in time. Did I get all that right?
Yes, you did. It was very interesting working with three different type of management structures. You know, obviously family owned and then by private equity and publicly traded. So it gave me a lot of experience and a lot of different looks on how management is done with the three different type of management structures.
Well, that probably prepared you pretty well to transition into, you know, the brokerage side of business and working with business owners that are looking to exit their businesses. And given that you've had this type of background and different types of experiences with different management structures and type of entities that own businesses and manage businesses, gives you a real insight. So why don't we move into talking a little bit about some of the transactions you've been involved in, Chris, that maybe didn't work out as originally planned or were somewhat challenging. Can you talk about a couple of those with us here today?
Yes. You know, all the transitions that I've been with so far have all worked out in the best interest of the owners. They've all had different unique circumstances, which caused some hiccups through the process. But I've been fortunate enough to take them all the way to the sale process. One of the companies that I was working with was founded by two gentlemen. They went to high school together. And throughout their career, they had two different set of careers. And they came together to build a business from scratch. And they were in the water propulsion business, where they designed nozzles for high pressure water systems to flush out piping, whether it be in the plumbing industry or whether it be in cleaning food factories where they would have to make sure that all the piping was clean before they were able to run new product through it. So those are the markets that they operated in. And the two gentlemen were very successful. They built a business. They approached me and yet around 2015 to work with them. And I worked with them all the way through the end of 2015, going into 2016. And they wanted to retire. And the difficulty they experienced was they tried to sell the business themselves. And that affected the value of the business from a standpoint. They went from working in and working on their business to trying to sell the business, which distracted them, which resulted in them plateauing their sales and not increasing their sales in an upward trend through that process when they were trying to sell it themselves.
So tell me a little bit about the decision they made to try to sell the business themselves. Was this driven by going to market, or was this driven by someone that was interested in selling their business or buying their business?
Well, one of their main suppliers throughout the process through their business relationship expressed that they would be interested in the business. So they felt going that route and working that out themselves would be the best way to go. Well, that relationship to try to sell the business with one of their suppliers never resulted in a sale of the business. And that was primarily because I think the supplier was looking at a much lower price than what the owners felt the value was, and they were never able to come to terms. Then what happened is they decided they needed to get some more professional help. I was referred into them and started building the relationship with them and helping them to sell their business and take them out of the sale process and allow them to continue to work on their business to keep sales in an upward trend.
So during this time they were talking to the supplier, it sounds like they were really involved in thinking that they were likely going to consummate the deal with the supplier, and they got focused on the deal versus growing and continuing the sales efforts. And you indicated that the sales did plateau and maybe even had a little bit of a downward tick.
Yeah, I would say there was really no downward tick, but they definitely leveled off and were not growing.
And this is a concern to buyers that you bring to the table when you've had year after year of sales increases and all of a sudden the sales are plateauing. This is a red flag for many buyers.
Yes, because any buyer out there is buying future revenues. And if they don't see the revenues going in an upward trend, that's going to affect what they're willing to pay for the business or even to purchase the business in the end.
And so when you got involved and they were able to get back involved in their business and focus on sales, how did that work out?
Well, we were able to get sales back on an upward trend. We worked on putting their financials together and doing some sales projections. We worked on defining their systems that they had in place that they've established over the years and try to increase the efficiency of their processes, which resulted in adding value to the business and making it more attractive to a business owner. You know, the more risky a business is, the less value it has, and the less buyers you're going to be able to attract. So my goal was always to try to put the business in the best light as possible. It's sort of like creating a painting. You have to make that painting so it's so appealing to the buyer that they're willing to invest their money into it versus investing it somewhere else.
And what type of buyers were you able to bring to the table?
So we were able to bring some strategic buyers and other buyers that were not within the industry. And we had the most response from buyers who were outside the industry. And we ended up selling it to one of those buyers.
And what type of buyer was that?
So it was a buyer, an individual that had several businesses under his platform and in his portfolio. And he felt that this was a very attractive business for him, and it would complement some of his other business. It wasn't a strategic buy, but it would complement some of the other things that he was able to do with his other businesses.
So I guess the big takeaway in this transaction, Chris, would be that if you're positioning a business to sale, you better keep your foot on the gas and make sure that those sales have a continued upward trend in order for buyers to take it seriously and meet your terms and offering price.
Yes. And like any other profession, you know, you and a business owner has the ability and knowledge to run his business. Sometimes you do need the resources of other advisors to help you through the sale process. You only sell the business once, and you want to make sure it's done right the first time and maximize the value of the business and be able to take away your net equity in the business.
Well, I'm glad that worked out for the buyers there. So in another transaction that was a little challenging, can you share the details of that?
Another one was a business, again, in the Ohio market, and they were in the plastic injection mold business. And it was a husband and wife business. They've owned a business for close to 30 years. They got into the business by purchasing the business from the previous owner, who passed away, and his family was left selling the business, and they purchased it from the spouse, and were able to build the business over those 25 to 30 years to be a very successful business. And they were in the plastic injection mold business.
So being in a family type of business, did they have children working in the business or interested in acquiring the business or working in it?
Through the years, they had several of their children work in the business. One actually was industrial engineer, a mechanical engineer. But there was no interest by any of them to take over the business and manage the business. They had their own careers established at this time, by the time the owners wanted to sell. So they chose then just to sell the business to a third party.
So had they actually gone through a process where they got their financials in good shape and had a good growth pattern?
So this particular business, one of the strengths that they did had is they were very strong on their financials, as far as making sure everything was done on the balance sheet and income statement properly, making sure that it was reviewed or audited by their accountant, which is sometimes you don't see the financials being done properly, and they use some type of creative finance or accounting, as I call it. So you have to clean that up through that. So that was a strength of theirs. One of the things that was one of the weaknesses, that the business was totally reliant on the current business owners. They did not.
So pretty owner centric then.
Yes. They did not do anything to develop any type of second layer of management that could help them run the business. And that actually made the business more riskier for a potential buyer.
So why don't you elaborate on that? Why would a buyer be concerned about that if there's no management team?
Most buyers are buying the business either for synergies or to increase their business through acquisition, or individuals that are looking to own a business themselves. But generally, those individuals don't have on their bench people that can come in and step in and operate the business from day one, where if you develop that ability that you have a good management team in place, it makes it much more attractive and less riskier for any potential buyer.
And so they had nobody in the business. They were the business in essence.
Yes, that's correct.
And what type of buyer were you able to bring to the table?
So we were able to bring to the table several strategic buyers and also individuals had the ability to bring people in to help them run the business. And we ended up selling it to one of the individuals that was looking to buy their first business that had people in place that they were able to bring in and help manage the business.
So how did the business valuation process go? How were you able to establish a business on an owner-centric managed business?
So one of the two things that we did, first of all, there was a fair amount of equipment involved in the business. So we did an appraisal on all the equipment within the manufacturing space that they operated. And then we also did evaluation on the business to certify that what the value of the business is based on current market conditions. So that would help reduce the risk of a buyer having to come in and feel the business was riskier because they didn't have a second layer of management in place. But the business was built up to such an extent that minimized that or mitigated that factor and made it more appealing to potential buyer.
So Chris, in this type of situation where you had an owner-centric seller that had not built a management team, hadn't had the forethought or the interest in doing that, what do you think the delta or the difference in the value that they could have garnered from the business if they'd had a manager, general manager type of person that could have managed the business on a day-to-day basis?
I mean, it's hard to put an exact dollar amount on that, but I would say it was probably in the neighborhood of 15 to 20% in loss in value by not having a developed management team or someone that could, when a new owner would come in, that they would have a management team in place.
That's a fairly significant amount of dollars that just sort of disappear, and it makes it real challenging. I mean, if a business owner does bring in a management team, then they can work on the business and not be so involved in the day-to-day. So why don't you think people don't do that type of strategy of bringing in management and building a team around them? What do you think is the biggest barriers to doing that?
I think as the business grows and they try to scale it up, they don't go to the next level of growth internally and realize that sometimes you have to sacrifice a little revenue to bring people in that can help you run the business. But that revenue would be recaptured as the business continues to grow and revenues increase. So it's sort of biting the bullet a little bit on the front end to try to get people in place that can help you to continue to grow the business. You know, business owners only have so much time and room on their plate. And if they don't reduce what's on their plate and increase their time, they're going to be stuck in that plateau where they continue to operate it and they're the sole source of management and be very owner-centric.
But yeah, you were able to bring someone to the table that did take over the business, and you indicated they were going to bring with them management, so their goals were really to take it to the next level.
Yeah, they seen the potential in the business, and they realized that in order to capture that, they were going to have to have that next layer of management in place or bring people to the table that can help them.
All right, Chris, thanks for sharing that. How about another story that was a little bit challenging and although may have ended up well, there were some hurdles to overcome?
Yeah, the next business that I've worked with, another story was a company that was in the tire mold manufacturing business. They were very successful.
So let's get a little bit better idea of a tire mold business. So they created the actual moldings and sold those moldings to tire manufacturers? Is that the type of business it was?
Yeah, so the tire manufacturer would come to them and say, we need you to produce the aluminum molds for us to make our tires. And they would produce those aluminum molds and then turn around and sell them to the particular manufacturer. And each mold was different based on a different tread design that the manufacturer needed at that point in time.
And they'd been in business a long time?
Yeah, they were in business over 30 years. It was started by a father who got into the business after working in a tire industry and seeing the opportunity there. And his son got involved in the business. And the son is currently running the business or was running the business and was looking to retire from the business.
And in the tire manufacturing business, I know a lot of tires are manufactured overseas. Did they face that type of competition too?
Yes, they did. One of the things that they didn't do properly or they could have done a better job is understanding the market conditions and reading the market better so that they could time the sale of the business in a better fashion. And what happened is by not reading the market properly, they lost market share to companies that were overseas that were producing the tire molds for international and both domestic tire manufacturers in the U.S.
So it sounds like this business, if I understand it correctly, was a family-run business they were kind of niched. There wasn't a lot of competition domestically in the business. I know that tire manufacturing is in kind of centered around the Ohio, you know, that part of the country. And they didn't have a lot of competition, and their business was relatively robust and healthy and probably going very well. And they kind of took their eye off of the ball, and the market kind of started to shift on them as foreign competition came into the market, and they may not have been aware of it as they should have been. And, you know, the competition got pretty fierce, I would imagine. Is that what you're kind of outlining happened?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened in a nutshell. And as a result of that process, by the industry going through some difficult times and them not focusing on their market, they lost probably about 50% of value in their business and when they went to sell several years later.
So they lost 50% within a few years. And by not timing the actual exit of the business, they could have doubled their exit value if they had been more aware of market conditions and exited, you know, at kind of the top of the market instead of riding the market down.
That's correct. Now, one of the things that they did do successfully, though, the owner realized how many years he wanted to stay on and look forward out 4 or 5 years into the process. And through some other advisors advising him to develop a management team, he went and developed a management team so that he would be able to step away from the business relatively easy. And the potential buyer would have management in place to help run the business.
So versus the prior transaction you shared with us, who didn't put management in place, he foresaw that and put it in place, anticipating an exit where he wouldn't be crucial to the business and could step away from the business.
Yes, that's correct.
And the transaction was able to find a buyer then, I assume.
Yes.
Was it a strategic buyer, from someone from outside of the business?
It was not a real strategic buyer, but it was somebody within the industry that did machining of the tire molds. And that was part of the process, the manufacturing process. Once the molds were completed, they were then shipped out to a machining company that would get all the burrs or polish up or get any imperfections in the mold machined off, so they would be able to then successfully sold to the tire manufacturer and without any defects in the tire production.
And in that case, this industry player was able to integrate the molding business into their machining business, kind of a reverse integration type of strategy that they had, and be able to see the value created in that and, you know, make an offer based on those kind of strategic internal decisions that they were looking at integrating into their business.
That's correct.
And the transaction took place. Were there any other challenges as the transaction closed?
No, there was no really other challenges related to that. It was the challenge was knowing that through the process that if they would have prepared their business for sale a little earlier, they would have maximized the sale price, where here they weren't able to do that, which to me is sort of depressing, because you always want to try to maximize the sale price, maximize your net worth and your net income that you're going to take away from the sale. And when that doesn't happen as a business owner, myself or a previous business owner, it's not a good feeling. So I almost take on some of the emotions of the business owner when I can't help them maximize the value of their business because of some of the actions they did throughout the process.
So I guess the big takeaway in this transaction is really timing is important. Being aware of the market and the industry that you're in and trying to, as much as possible, anticipate what the future is going to hold and not to kind of hang on to the last moment when there are big shifts taking place in the business. If there's anything that I've learned over the years is that if there's anything in business that is constant. It is change.
Yes.
Well, how about a story that really went well, a transaction that was well thought out and planned and maybe worked out as good as the owners anticipated or maybe even better? Do you have a transaction that you could share with us like that?
So there's a transaction that I'm aware of that happened. That the company was a family business. It was started by their father and several of the family members.
How long ago was it started?
It was probably started about 25 to 30 years ago by the father. Mm-hmm. And he started it at working with the insurance industry, helping them do inspections or prepare the house for inspections so that the insurance companies would make sure that everything was done. The value of the house was there or the property was done so that they could properly insure the building or structure with that.
So the business was an inspection business that would work for the insurance company. So their clients were the insurance companies.
Yes. And through the years, several of the sons came into the business, one of the daughters, and they were able to build the business up to be a very successful business from a local to a regional to a national player in that market. And they, through that process, they were fortunate enough to build the business. And when I mean build the business, put proper things in place or steps in place to scale the business up, put proper procedures in place and processes, and then prepare the business for sale.
So they put in a mid-tier management level as well as the family that was working in the business?
Yes, they put in several different management levels in the business so that the business really was able to operate without their daily activity or involvement, which does make that much more attractive to buyers because then they don't have to bring a full bench of management or other individuals into the business to help run it. And it reduces the risk of the business to a potential buyer.
So in this case, with management in place, there was a really well thought out exit plan put in place. I mean, they considered how they were going to exit and went through a process of bringing on advisors to help them develop the strategy to exit and to make sure that everything was in place as they prepared the business for sale.
Yes. And they went through a successful transition with the business.
So what type of buyer was brought to the table?
So it was a private equity firm that bought them that had in their portfolio businesses, complementary businesses to what they did. It wasn't a straight strategic buy, but it added to their portfolio of businesses.
Did any of the family stay on to manage the business, or was it just a professional management that stayed?
So several of the family members were asked to stay on to run the business and continue to grow it, which they continued to do that. And it's still a very successful business. It's still owned by private equity. And the process went real well for the family members. They did it right.
So in this case, do you recall if this was a complete cash out or was there any carry back or anything like that?
It was a complete cash out. I believe there was some earn out related to it in the end, but it was primarily all cash.
So you've shared some really good stories here that have some good takeaways from the water injection business that serviced high pressure water systems where the buyers took their eye off of the ball. And, you know, by doing that, they were really challenged to find a buyer that was interested in a business that sales weren't there. So they had to focus on getting those sales back up before the business could be successfully exited to family businesses that put no management in place. And that depressed the value of the business up to 20% was lost value by not having additional managers and not timing the market where you lose as much as 50%. Of the value of the business by mistiming the exit until someone that really thought about exiting and was able to sell out to a private equity buyer pretty much for cash. And then, of course, your own story of working in a family business that went from working with your brothers and sisters in the business and making it a regional player and selling it out to private equity and then eventually to a public entity, and you worked in the family business and worked for private equity buyers, and you also worked for a public entity, which gave you a real different perspective on the different management structures. Chris, this has been a fascinating interview. I appreciate you taking the time and sharing these stories with us. If someone wanted to reach out and get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity. I enjoyed the time with you. And my company name is Crossroads Advisors. My email address is chris@crossroadsadvisors.com. And advisors can be spelled two ways, with a ERS and an ORS. I spell mine ERS. The listeners make sure they put it in correctly so they could find me properly.
Okay, we'll also have contact information in the show notes on the Business Exit Stories website, so you can reach Chris there also. Well, Chris, thanks for joining us. And until next time, we'll see you for more Business Exit Stories.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, Chris. Bye.
Join us in our next episode when our guests will share more stories of how entrepreneurs, founders, and business owners have exited their businesses and learn about what to avoid and what you need to do to successfully position your business for a successful exit. If you enjoyed this podcast, take a minute to give us a rating on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts so aspiring entrepreneurs everywhere can find us. If you wish to reach out to any of our guests, please visit our website at www.businessexitstories.com, where you can find more information. Join us next time for more Business Exit Stories.